inspections, and there's a number of bills in front of us. We have a work session scheduled, a number of bills, and then a hearing, and what I'm going to do is go to the public hearing on Senate Bill 310. Senator Frye is here, and he has a large group of eager constituents waiting for him downstairs. He has to attend another committee meeting, and so I give the courtesy of calling this bill first. You have some committee members. You have some material there presented to you by Senator Frye. And Senator, welcome.
All right. Mr. Chairman, thank you for your courtesy here. Yes, I'm involved in a business housing finance committee meeting downstairs with about 200 veterans who are a little concerned. My name is Bill Frye. I'm a legislator representing South Lane County and North Douglas County and a lot of points in between. And what Senate Bill 310 is designed to do is to provide a monitoring tool for law enforcement in terms of the precursor chemicals that are sold and utilized in the manufacture of methamphetamine. In the metropolitan area, the Tri-County area, methamphetamine is not probably as much of an item in the news as it is in my part of the state. The methamphetamine problem is a very serious one in southern Oregon. The question is always asked why we have so many meth labs down in that country, and there are several answers, a lot of speculation, I suppose, but methamphetamine manufacture, because it creates a stink, to say the least, is something that lends itself to a rural atmosphere. We got a lot of rural atmosphere down there in my part of the state. And secondly, being along the I-5 corridor, it's real easy then to transport the manufactured product south of California, north of Washington. So the I-5 corridor in southern Oregon is an ideal location for meth manufacturers, and they proliferate down there like tansy ragwort on both sides of the highway. It occurred to me quite by accident, and as a matter of fact, I think I was reading the Oregonian item that I've left in front of you, that we don't have at the present time any requirement that the sale or purchase of these precursor chemicals be in any way reported. And the chairman of the committee will recall that one of the subcommittees of the interim committee met for hearings in Eugene on the subject of precursor chemical reporting, and it was the work of that subcommittee that led to Senate Bill 310. This the bill really fills a void in Oregon law. Now, this bill, and I can't emphasize this too much, this bill is not designed to be the final process of elimination of the methamphetamine problem in Oregon. It is designed simply to give law enforcement a tool to monitor the sales of these precursor chemicals. Now, I would have to say to you that we have dozens, maybe even hundreds, of chemical wholesalers in the state of Oregon, and according to the state police, and before the Judiciary Committee, there are probably about 300 sales of precursor chemicals a month. So you know right away that most all of these sales are completely legitimate, and these precursor chemicals, of course, have a legitimate use. For the most part, they have legitimate industrial uses. There is no precursor chemical I know of that is not good for anything except making methamphetamine. So we're dealing with a legitimate product sold over the counter, and for the most part sold legitimately. And this law, this bill here, Mr. Chair, is patterned after the California statute. A similar statute exists in the state of Nevada, but I've never been able to determine whether the state of Washington has a similar law or not. During the interim, my information was that it did not, but I understand later on that it does. The state of Idaho does not have such a law, but what the bill does simply is this. It says that before the delivery of a precursor chemical to a purchaser, the seller has to file a report with the state police on forms that are outlined in the bill. And it says that within 10 days after a purchaser gets the chemical, the purchaser has to make a similar report to the state police. That's really the guts of the bill. It says, number one, that if you don't report, it's a criminal offense. It's a Class A misdemeanor. If you make a fictitious report, it's the same. And then call the committee's attention to Section 5, because many members who have been sitting in the legislature from before know that there has been some interest in discouraging the sale of certain apparatus and equipment that could be used as drug paraphernalia. And a lot of us have had problems with the legislation in the past because it didn't really go to the intent of the seller. Section 5 of this bill is in here because it does provide that it would be an offense to illegally sell drug equipment if the person sells any such equipment or device of knowledge that's going to be used to prepare a dangerous drug or a controlled substance. That's really about the extent of what this bill does. I want to point out to the committee members, because there will be a suggestion that you change the penalty provisions of this bill to make it a felony to fail a report or whatever else the bill does. I strongly urge that you be quite cautious about that for a couple of reasons. The present laws, of course, that are on the books make either the manufacture or the delivery or the possession of methamphetamine a felony. Those laws are on the books. They remain unchanged in all respects. And so when we're talking about this kind of a drug problem, we have all of the tools that we've always had. And when we consider that what we're doing here is not trying to get at the methamphetamine problem in the direct manner that current statutes already get at it, but we are trying to just provide this monitoring tool, and that the great preponderance of these sales and purchases are legitimate, then I think there's every reason to be cautious about creating yet another felony. I'm just saying that we don't need to create another felony in order for the good things that this bill could do to happen. And I think there will be good things come out of it, because at least law enforcement, is theoretically at least, is going to know how much of this stuff is bought and sold and where it's bought and sold and who's buying it. And that ought to help. So when we take the other existing laws dealing with narcotics, we have, I think, a complete arsenal of weapons. And it would be too bad if we got so overzealous in this aspect of drug enforcement that we swept up a lot of these innocent sellers or purchasers just because we want to demonstrate that there's yet another way to be tough on those who manufacture. I want to be tough on meth manufacturers myself, and the law is tough, and it's going to remain that way. When this bill was put together, Mr. Chair, and when we had testimony in the Senate Judiciary Committee, every single group that would have any interest in such legislation was supportive of it. For example, not only are the Oregon District Attorneys in support of this type of legislation, but the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers are also in support of it. It has the full support of everybody that's involved in the process, and I think it's pretty unusual to get a bill with that broad-based support. One last word here, that is, the suggestion might be made that unless we make the failure to report according to this law here a felony, that the law enforcement will be somehow limited, to wit, the it might not be possible to invoke the provisions of the Oregon RICO statute. I want to point out to the committee that that's an error, that the Oregon RICO law would apply to any conviction under the Controlled Substances Act. And whether it's a misdemeanor or a felony, the Oregon RICO law is going to apply. So if that's the concern of anybody about this bill, that should be set aside. I also point out, Mr. Chair, that the the State Board of Pharmacy can designate precursor drugs as controlled substances, and once that's done, of course, then it falls into the felony category. That's a matter that can be done. The I didn't mention in the bill, but it's obvious, we're starting off with those known precursor chemicals, and the bill provides that the state police, from time to time, will add, by rule, the precursor chemicals that that surface. That is, we know that new chemicals are used and thought up and made and to use, and as these things become available, why, we don't have to come back to the legislature every time. I think I was very concerned about the constitutionality of delegating that to the state police, but I'm satisfied from my research that that can be done constitutionally, and that's the way it's handled in the bill. The state police will just simply, by rule, add new precursor chemical drugs. Mr. Chair, I'll answer any questions if I can.
Thanks, Senator Frey. I'd like to say thank you for the work. I know you started work on this in the interim. You put a tremendous amount of work and hearings on this. And one of the questions that, as we were going, some of you were on the interim will remember, every time we held a hearing on it, it seemed like somebody would come back in and have discovered a new chemical that could be added as a precursor thing. And we were wondering how you designed this to deal with that question. And I'm glad you found an answer for that in the Section 6 of the bill. Just a question. Well, questions from the committee. Representative Phillips.
Senator Frey, I really applaud your efforts. Without doubt, this is a fine piece. But I do have a question. If you remember the interim, there was also a lot of debate about local law enforcement who would discover a meth lab, go in. They would then have the chemicals to deal with. And what do they do with them? They don't know how to deal with them. And we had talked about making DEQ the central agency to come in and deal with that. That is completely out of the bill, and perhaps appropriately so. But was there any discussion about setting up another section of this bill for the disposition of the chemicals once seized?
No, as a matter of fact, Representative Phillips, I don't think that particular point came up at all in the Senate Judiciary Committee, but you're right, it did come up and was discussed by us in the interim. And it seems to me, I've got counsel from the Judiciary Committee here, but it seems to me there's a bill somewhere that does what you just got through saying. The deals with this problem of
getting a nod out here.
1,002. Okay, there you go. So I guess that's being addressed somewhere.
Okay. Well, I guess there's all sorts of discussion going on, and it just seemed like this was such a good vehicle. Perhaps that would have been a good package together. But we can check and see where that other bill is and what's going on there too. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Boy, any further questions? Representative Miller?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Frey, in Section 4, when the person commits the offense of failure to report a missing precursor substances, if the person, and in sub B, discovers any theft or loss of any precursor substance, or any difference between the quantity received and quantity shipped, and then the next provision about the 3 days to report that. With some of these substances above that you receive, if you do discover, let's say that you're expecting some shipment, you're legitimate, I guess, and you don't receive what you thought you were going to, are you under a duty to report it, even if you call the legitimate manufacturer and say, hey, I didn't get everything that I ordered, and they said, oh, we blew it, we've got another carton here on the shelf that was supposed to come your way, and they send it to you, are you still obligated to file some report?
Well, yes, the way the bill is worded, and that may or may not present problems to the legitimate wholesalers or retailers, and that the purpose of the section, of course, is to close the door on those who would say, gee, I didn't report it, all of a sudden it's gone. I mean, actually, who had sold the chemicals to a manufacturer, we'll say, and then didn't want to report that. It's easier to say, well, it was swiped or it's missing, than to fill out the report saying I sold 20 pounds to Joe Dokes. That's the purpose of Section 4, but I think, I think the legitimate dealer who didn't get the full shipment would have to report that.
Okay. A further question, Mr. Chairman.
Certainly.
In Section 5, where the person commits the offense of illegally selling drug equipment, if they sell any article or apparatus device with the knowledge that substance, article, apparatus will be used to do a number of things, including prepare a controlled substance for unlawful sale or distribution, can that reach into drugs other than these precursors?
Could
that be used if you were selling something like, I don't know, maybe lights that help marijuana growers?
Yeah, I mean, it goes, yes, it would deal with, precursor chemicals would not, I suppose, be a controlled substance. The section, of course, would apply to all controlled substances. And the type of equipment that you just mentioned is one of the things that I had in mind when this was drafted. I think that the Section 5 has the virtue, I would suggest respectfully, it has the virtue of not only being concise, but also of requiring the element of knowledge, which I think was the defect that existed in prior legislation. By the way, it is, of course, possible, is presently possible, in fact is being done in at least one big case in Lane County that I know of, to prosecute the supplier of the precursor chemicals as a co-conspirator in the manufacture of the methamphetamine. And surely, regardless of this reporting law here, if somebody is selling precursor chemicals and you can prove that that person had knowledge that they were going to be used to manufacture methamphetamine, it would make that seller just as criminally responsible as the manufacturer. There's no question about that. So that's yet another procedure in the law that we already have to deal with the actual manufacturer. We can deal with suppliers on the felony level if it can be established that they're selling with knowledge it's going to be used to manufacture meth, and this can be done.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Senator, thank you very much. Appreciate you coming in and taking the time.
I just happen to have Mark Kramer, the counsel for my Judiciary Committee, with me here in case you've got any more technical with your questions. I could call on him.
All right, thank you very much. Senator Olson, are you here to testify on this?
Yeah. No.
By the way, I mentioned while Senator Olson is coming up, you all should have received, the members of the committee, written testimony from Senator Hanby, and we'll make that a part of the record.
Mr. Chairman, while your assistant is and counsel is passing out proposed amendments to Senate Bill 310, I too would like to join in the acclamations, I think, due that 310 as a vehicle came over to the House side. It's certainly a step in the right direction, but I think if you were able to review, as I was recently, the floor debate on the Senate side, you realize that a step in the right direction doesn't keep up with the leap ahead of law enforcement that our drug labs are right now in the state. And to that end, I've suggested amendments for Senate Bill 310, which basically do the following and provides that certain chemicals constitute controlled substances. It redefines the authority of the Board of Pharmacy to designate other precursor chemicals as controlled substances and allows the Department of Environmental Quality to issue permits for such chemicals. And the it punishes delivery of such chemicals to a person without a permit by a maximum of 1 year imprisonment, $2,500 fine, or both. These amendments are supported in concept as they were drawn up by COSAC, Southern Oregon Drug Awareness from my area, the Oregon State Sheriff's Association, Oregon Chiefs of Police, and the Oregon State Police. And to that end, I think it would be most appropriate because of their very sincere concerns about 310 as it's currently constituted, if they couldn't come forward and add testimony regarding my amendments for your benefit and for your questions.
Well, if you want to join up here, we'll do that.
I have a person from my staff listening in, but I've got a revenue bill, reconnect bill, minor details we're trying to attend to, and I plan to return to committee right now.
Okay, fine. And they want to testify. Well, why don't you come on up then? And, we do have someone from Representative Campbell's office that I want to have up, but if you don't mind waiting to live through here. Do you want to come up now? Would you mind if we let Representative Campbell's assistant get on? She's been waiting, and then we'll. Sorry.
Chair Burton and members of the committee, my name is Barbara Crocker. I'm a legislative assistant testifying on behalf of Larry Campbell, state representative from District 43. I'd like to mention that Representative Campbell also introduced a bill related to precursor chemicals, and he's very concerned with strengthening our drug-related laws. Representative Campbell is committed to working towards legislation that will assist our drug enforcement officers with removing the illegal drug manufacturers and dealers from the streets. I'm here to testify on behalf of Senate Bill 310 and to offer an additional amendment to the list of the precursor substances. From the handout I'm sure you all have by now, we would like to add two substances to the list, L-ephedrine and DL-ephedrine, to Section 3 on page 2. And it will be followed by a clarification sentence relating to the ephedrine in Section and be numbered as Section 3A. Any combination or compound containing ephedrine or any other of its salts or isomers which is prepared for over-the-counter sale not otherwise prohibited by law is not a controlled substance for the purpose of this section. I'd like to explain the background of what ephedrine is and how it's already used in over-the-counter drugs and why it should be included in Senate Bill 310. Ephedrine is an amphetamine. And as I found out a few minutes or an hour ago, there are three forms of ephedrine, not just two. There is L-ephedrine, D-ephedrine, and DL-ephedrine. And all three of these forms are classified as optical isomers. And the difference between these three is easier to explain using a pair of hands. The D or the L-ephedrine could be the left hand, the D-ephedrine the right hand, and DL is both of those together. Anyway, the clarifying statement on Section 3A would actually include the D-ephedrine, which is left off the list. Anyway, I'd like to say that ephedrine is a white, odorless powder or crystalline alkali used now in over-the-counter drugs or prescription drugs to treat allergies and asthma as a vasoconstrictor or a constrictor of blood vessels. And for instance, this drug is used to shrink the lining of the nose in colds in the treatment of asthma. And an example, just so you can see what an over-the-counter drug is that would have ephedrine in it, is Primatene tablets or Tedrol tablets. And they're all for the relief of your bronchial asthma and hay fever. And these, like I say, will not be affected by the bill. And Representative Campbell would like ephedrine added to the list of precursor chemicals because it is an amphetamine and it is used in the production of methamphetamines. All three forms are used, but the most common one is L-ephedrine. Are there any questions?
Well, I'm impressed by the fact that you're able to pronounce all these things. I'm never able to do that.
Practice.
Have you? Senator Olson proposed some amendments, and I would suggest, which has a different listing of these things, and you may want to
take a look at that.
Ask Representative Campbell. Look at that.
Okay.
Any questions? Thank you very much, Barbara.
Thank you.
Here we go. Gentlemen, you want to sorry we were playing a shop shoe shuffle there.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Craig Branton with the Oregon State Police. I'm Executive Assistant to Superintendent State Police. I have with me Lieutenant Rod Brown from Salem Police Department and Captain Ed Davis from the Portland Police Bureau and Lieutenant Dennis O'Donnell from the State Police also testifying with respect to these amendments. It's been our
position. We know him. That's all right.
He's here all the time.
Our department, along with the Oregon Chiefs of Police and the Oregon Sheriff's Association, had endorsed Senate Bill 991, which was proposed by Senator Olson, and our department, along with the Chiefs and Sheriffs, has also applauded Senator Frey's efforts in Senate Bill 310 to monitor these precursor chemicals. It's been simply our position that this bill is a first step, as Senator Frey has testified, and it's a needed first step in getting some control over these methamphetamine drug labs in the state of Oregon. We are currently number three in the United States in methamphetamine drug labs. And the number of these labs is increasing year by year, both the number that state police takes down and the county sheriffs and the local municipal police departments take down. And as Representative Phillips alluded to, the chemicals are an ever-increasing problem. Senator Olson's bill, or Senator Olson's amendments, as presented here, would simply make the chemicals themselves, or several of the chemicals listed A through E there, phenylsidic acid, methylamine, anthranoic acid, L-ephedrine, and D-L-ephedrine, controlled substances, meaning that it would be unlawful for the criminal element to be in possession of those substances. We did not reinvent the wheel, or Senator Olson did not reinvent the wheel in this amendment. The language is taken from a Nevada law, and the state of Nevada has made these chemicals controlled substances as a result of the problem of methamphetamine drug labs in that state. You'll notice that Section 2 says, notwithstanding the fact that the chemicals have been made controlled, any compound of ephedrine, which is used commonly in over-the-counter drugs, would be exempt. So that's exempting your commercial use of that particular chemical. In addition to that, the bill provides under Section 5 a provision that anyone who wants to use any of those five chemicals for a legitimate commercial or industrial use, that the entity would apply to the Department of Environmental Quality, which would review the application for an industrial use of the chemical and make a decision as to whether or not this person is a legitimate user of the chemical for an industrial purpose or whether or not it's going to be used for the illegal manufacture of methamphetamine. Again, we did not reinvent the wheel here. Senator Olson took that language also out of California law. In California, in order to be able to use a precursor chemical for a legitimate business or industrial purpose in the state of California, you have to apply through the State Department of Justice in California, make application to obtain a permit to use a precursor chemical. And we have been in contact with both states of California and Nevada. We asked Nevada whether they get very many problems having outlawed these chemicals and made them controlled substances with the request for industrial use permits, and they said they have none. In California, where they have a mechanism for providing permits for industrial uses of precursor chemicals, they said their requests are few and far between for the use of these precursor chemicals. These five that we have listed here are the primary precursors that are found in the methamphetamine drug labs that police officers are going into on a daily basis. And from what we've learned from California and Nevada, they really do not have legitimate industrial uses other than the ephedrine being used in some over-the-counter drugs. So that's the rationale behind this particular amendment. It's the feeling of law enforcement that in order to effectively deter people from engaging in the manufacture of methamphetamines in the state of Oregon, that we need to take that extra step and make them absolutely a controlled substance. And that although it's a important first step in monitoring transactions in the chemicals, law enforcement would simply like to take the additional step of making the chemicals themselves controlled.
Fine. Did any of you other gentlemen want to add anything?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Dave Burks. I'm sheriff of Lane County, and I represent that office as well as the Oregon State Sheriff's Association. Sometimes in that position, it required me to walk a narrow line. I know that the Oregon State Sheriff's Association had the opportunity to endorse Senate Bill 310, and I had the opportunity to testify on behalf of them and myself and my office on Senate Bill 310. And we did secure the amendments, or at least one of the amendments that we were after. We also endorsed as an organization Senate Bill 991, which was Senator Olson's original bill. Since that time, our organization has not had a chance to look at the amendments and take a position. My own personal position representing the Office of Sheriff in Lane County is that I wholeheartedly support Senate Bill 310.